Take your program out and grab your notes. And we're in this series called The Great Comeback. Last week on Easter, we talked about the greatest comeback of all time. How does someone come back from the dead? And in this series, the entire theme and everything revolves around this idea that the story of Jesus, and it's in your note, hinges on the resurrection. Jesus didn't come and proclaim himself a great teacher and say, I have all these principles and rules, and if you follow them, your life will change. He showed up offering a relationship. If you have a relationship with me at work, in your marriage, with your kids, whatever you go through, I'm with you, I'll be with you, your life will change. And then he died on a cross, and everybody must have been wondering, well, what now? And the great comeback was the resurrection, because it means that we can have a relationship with him right now. That's what's available to you. Coming back from something in life, you know, having a setback in life, it's difficult. It makes you want to give up and run away. And to have a relationship with Jesus is to say, I can make a comeback from any area. If your finances, you make a comeback. You've been through a divorce, make a comeback. Has something happened or said something to your children, wish you could take it back, but you can't, but you can make a comeback. Now, today we're going to talk about one of the important issues when it comes to comebacks. How do I make a comeback from having a problem with religion? I've been hurt in some type of church or religion. I'm going to make a comeback from something that's happened in my life and it has to do with religion. In fact, it's the big idea. You can write it in your notes. Swap out religion for relationship. Making a comeback. Because most people have brushed. Do you know that when you talk to the average person and you just talk to them, and you find out they really don't have any problem with Jesus at all? But at some point in their life, they might have a problem with religion. Or something to do with a church, any church. So we're going to start the series talking about how to make a comeback from religion. I want to be close to God. Do religion and God always have to go hand in hand? Because maybe you know somebody in your life and you can see they'd like to make a move towards God. They'd like to explore if they could have a relationship, but they're not going back to church. They're not going to set foot in anything religious anymore because something's happened in their life. Today we're going to talk about a man, his name is Nicodemus. His story is in the Bible. He comes from a very religious background, religious parents, brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles, been in church all of his life. But he starts to recognize something's missing. When I'm really backed against the wall, when the chips are down, how come I don't feel close to God? How come when I reach for religion, it doesn't feel like I'm reaching for God? So I'm going to read you his story. It's in the notes, and let's take a look. Here it is. Now, there was a Pharisee. Let me tell you what a Pharisee is so you can just get a chance. But Pharisees are like the religious bigwigs, so Catholic Church bishops, district supervisors, Protestant churches, the bishops, the bigwigs. They run the church. The Pharisees are the religious church leaders. They're Jewish, so Jewish religious church leaders. They're the leaders in the church. So this guy's a Pharisee. He's a leader in the church. A man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council, he came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs that you are doing if God was not with him. Jesus replied, very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again. Interesting that Nicodemus comes at night to see Jesus. He's still concerned about his image. And one of the big differences between religion and relationship is if I'm really religious and everybody around me is religious, then I have to be concerned about my image. I have to make sure that I look right to everybody and that everybody thinks the right things about me. Because in religion, it really matters how everybody judges me and whether or not I'm going to be accepted or not. And Nicodemus, he's a religious leader. He's been religious all of his life. And so he's a little embarrassed to have to even talk to Jesus. And he certainly doesn't want anybody to see it. Maybe you know someone like that. They kind of like to reach out a little bit. You almost sometimes wonder, are they hinting? Would they like to talk about Jesus, but they're just hinting because it's embarrassing for them, or they're going to pay a price. If anybody finds out, their family, their friends, that they're thinking about that, then there's going to be a price to pay. So Nicodemus comes at night. Now here's a real difference between religious people, and when I say religious in a negative context, this is what I mean. The rules are more important than people. Maybe you've been there. You can work there, any organization, you can be in a church, any church, this church, any church, where the rules become, that's a religious attitude. Where image becomes more important than honesty. Nobody can ever see how I live or what I'm really like. So I have to be dishonest about who I am. Or here's one. When the church, any church, this church, that church, the church, any church, becomes more important than Christ. That's a religious attitude. And Nicodemus has lived in that all of his life. And he comes to see Jesus at night. And this is the thing that he notices right off, that Jesus is even willing to talk to him over in the shadows, on the margins. Because in his religious culture, you cleaned yourself up and you made sure everything looked right before you even went to church. And certainly you would never approach God over in the dark parts of your life. And if you did, you would get a pretty good talking to that, what, are you embarrassed to be with? Can you imagine if Jesus said, oh, hold up. Would you want to be seen with me? Imagine if you and your wife went to the movies and you met somebody from work and you never introduced your wife to him at all. You almost acted like you stood in front of her like, I don't even know this girl. And how would the ride home be for you with that wife? I don't know her. Nicodemus comes and sees Jesus at night, and Jesus says, come here. If you need to talk to me, come and talk to me. In the darkest place in your life, the most embarrassing stuff, you don't want anybody to see it, you don't want anybody to know, Jesus will be with you. You might be embarrassed about him or bashful, but he isn't about you. He will be in the darkest area in the night. Jesus will be with you. And please spread that to people you know, because they don't think that way. They've been around religion. It's all about getting all cleaned up, and they need to know Jesus will be with you in the night. Totally weird for Nicodemus. He's been involved in image all of his life. I met a young man a couple years ago. He was talking to me, and he came from a super religious family, grew up in a religious family, went to school with religious people. And he was telling me about what had happened in his family. This was a ways back that it happened. And fits so well in this story about image. His first job was at Blockbuster. Remember that? Before Redbox or Netflix, you go into Blockbuster and spend 5 hours and come out with the same movie you watched last Friday night. But anyway, Blockbuster. His job was at Blockbuster, and he had a Blockbuster job. He started to fade from religion. Didn't really want to fade from God, but he had faded from religion. Wasn't sure if he could continue to believe the things he was being taught. He's not sure how to get religion and God into the same room. He meets some people like we all do. He starts drinking, he's smoking weed, and he's just sort of out there a little ways. And he's back behind Blockbuster on one of his breaks, and he's smoking weed with this kid that he works with. And the manager comes out and just busts him right there. They're smoking weed. He sees him. And he thinks he's going to get written up or in trouble, and he notices the manager doesn't say one word to him the rest of the night. Didn't write him up, nothing. But as he was leaving, he mentioned to him, I called your mom. And he knew the manager because they all went to the same church, and their families knew each other. So I just want you to know. He gave him one of those looks. I just want you to know. I'm so sorry to have to call your mom. Has anybody ever told you they were so sorry and it looked like it was the happiest day of their life? Have you ever had that happen? I am so sorry to let you know. And you're like, well, why do you look so happy? I had to call your mom. And he got home, he opened the door, he knew he was in big trouble, and he's telling me this now, it's been a long time later, but you can feel the emotion. He said his mom came running out of the kitchen in a rage, and she flew at him and knocked him to the ground and started pounding on him, and she was screaming, do you know what the neighbors are going to say? Do you know what they're going to say about us? See, they lived in religion all their life, and that's what she was petrified what the neighbors were going to say. And she was completely frozen in what my image is going to look like now. And it killed him. Totally killed him, because he was deep inside. He was like, I don't even know if I want to do drugs or drink. I don't know where I'm going, but I know this. The family image matters more to you than I do, at least right now. When you're involved in religion, Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night. He's like, I have an image to protect. And Jesus, he gives him this great analogy. He says, Nicodemus, he talks about a baby of all things. Jesus says, Nicodemus, hold on a second. I want you to think of a baby for me. Think about a baby. Think of demons. Think about it. Think about babies for a second. Do you ever notice babies don't care anything about their image? They will crap their diaper anywhere. They could care less. You take a baby into a restaurant, it will cry in front of everybody. It has no image control. Crackers everywhere. He doesn't care that people look over at your family like, oh, man. Mustard in their hair. They could care less. I mean, babies don't care about their image at all. I mean, I have changed my shared diapers. You have too. Have you ever gotten one apology from a baby? They don't care how messy their diaper is. They don't care what it smells like. Babies don't. Nicodemus, think of a baby. He said, when you want to start a relationship with God, or some of you have wandered from God and you wondered how I'll ever get back, think of a baby. They don't do hardly anything. They certainly don't care what they look like. They're good at crying out for help. Nicodemus, think of a baby. If you're a long ways away from God today, or you want to get closer to God, or maybe, you know, just a week can go by, you feel close to God on Monday, and by Wednesday you're like, whoa, where is he? Think of a baby. I'm sure Nicodemus was scratching his head. He's like, a baby? Babies. See, he had come from a culture that you had to earn with God his approval. And think about a baby. They don't earn anything. They don't pay no rent. They don't contribute to the utilities. Here's what a baby, if you think about it, this is what they're great at, though. Babies are great at being loved. Aren't they? Babies. I don't care what kind of mood you're in. You see a little baby, they just show up, and you're like, oh. He comes to Jesus very worried about his image. He's been very religious all of his life, and it's not working. And Jesus stops him and says, hold up. I want you to think about a baby. He puts the bar so low that everyone can do it. If you want to swap out religion, you've been hurt by it, disappointed, something's occurred in your life, and get relationship, it all hinges on the resurrection. You can have that with Jesus. Start out like a baby. Would you be willing to let God love you? Now, look, number one in your notes, swap out condemnation for support. We're going to look at three different parts where we see Nicodemus. He's in the Bible three times. Now, number one says, swap out condemnation for support. And in that little section, we're going to read a little something about Nicodemus that had happened. Here is a little further down the road. It says, finally the temple guards went back to the chief priests and the Pharisees who asked him, why didn't you bring him in? So a little bit of the backstory. Jesus has arrived now into Jerusalem. It was just before the cross. Big, huge parties are going on. Everybody wants to see him. He's done these miracles. And the religious people say, go get him and shut that down right now. Bring him back in here. And the temple guards, they're the religious guards, kind of like, you know, the church bouncers. They go and they're going to try to get Jesus. And the people don't stop. But as they watch him and they listen to him, they become sort of drawn in. And, you know, you're supposed to be playing, you know, watching the children as a babysitter, and the next thing you know, you're up in the tree fort with them. You know, they're like, get drawn in. And so this is what happens. The chief priests and the Pharisees who asked, why didn't you bring him in? No one ever spoke the way this man does, the guards replied. You mean he's deceived you also, said the Pharisees, they retorted. Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed in him? No, but this mob that knows nothing about the law, there's a curse on them. Nicodemus, circle that, second time we see him in the Bible. Nicodemus, who had gone to Jesus earlier and who was one of their own number, asked, does our law condemn a man without first hearing him to find out what he's been doing? So here's Nicodemus now. He's with all of his friends, people that he works with, possibly some of his family members, and they come back and they're empty-handed, no Jesus at all. And they're angry. And think about this. Here, now, these are the church leaders. Okay, and Nicodemus is sitting and listening to him. He's probably thinking in his mind, aren't you even going to give him a chance? He's thinking about the people. Aren't you going to give these people a chance? Do you know, the longer you soak in religion, the more easy it is to condemn other people. And the more easy it is to see God as someone that condemns you. And if I see God as someone that condemns me, it's so easy to just pass that along to others. And these people have been religious for so long. That's how they see God. Maybe Nicodemus is remembering something that Jesus said to him when he went and saw him in the night. It's in your notes. Jesus said, God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world. He sent it in to save the world. And imagine the contrast. He's listening to this religious leaders, and they refer to the people that they're supposed to love. This mob. These people, they're divorced. They don't go to church all the time. They haven't given a dime to the church forever. They got tattoos all up and down them. These people. And maybe he's remembering something Jesus said when Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn them. When's the last time someone condemned you? And you felt like a broken down old house that nobody wanted to live in? They didn't reach out to support you or save you. They just marked you. Not worth it. Don't bother. Unqualified. Doesn't deserve it. Or, let me ask you just a little bit more personal. When is the last time you've done it to yourself? You condemned your own self. Nicodemus goes and sees Jesus at night. And Nicodemus hears him say, listen, God didn't come to condemn you. He came to save you. He understands you've got a lot of crap in your life. Welcome to the planet. But he didn't come to condemn you for it. He came to save you. And he's listening to the church leaders, and he's probably starting to see the contrast between religion and relationship. He's probably thinking, wait a minute, you don't care about these people. You don't love them. You don't support them. But I met someone that does. He does. You know, it's all in your heart or your attitude. Let me give you an example. There's this little country church that had a pastor that would get up every Sunday, and he would speak to the people very strongly. He would say, you know, if you don't get your life together and start following the Bible and, you know, and do the things that you're supposed to do as a Christian, you know, God's going to send you to hell, you know, every week, same story, you know. And the Christian church, they come every week and they come to church. And, do you understand, you know, Jesus will send you to hell if you don't, you know, do the things he said to do and read your Bible and, you know, you got to treat people right and love other people, and it's very important. These are things that you have to do. Well, these two fellows are having lunch one day, and he says, we fired that pastor. Gotta get rid of him. And we got a new pastor now. So about 3 or 4 months later, they're having lunch again. And he says, how you like your new pastor? He says, oh, every Sunday he gets up there and tells us we need to live like Jesus and love people, and there's a hell we're going to go to someday if we don't. And he goes, well, what do you think of me? He goes, oh, we love that pastor. Wait a minute. He's telling you the same thing the other guy said. He says, you know, but that first guy, when he said it, he didn't seem like he cared at all. But this new pastor, when he tells us that stuff, it seems like it's breaking his heart. There's a huge difference between religion and relationship. Huge. And if you've been hurt by someone religious, you've been hurt in some church, I'm sorry. But that does not disqualify you from having a relationship with Jesus whose heart breaks for you, every little part of your life. And Nicodemus, he must catch that, because imagine when the Pharisees hear this, has any of us Pharisees believed in him? And there's Nicodemus, a Pharisee, probably sitting there, you know, like, His hand shoots up. One does. I think he must have been so shocked. Maybe you've seen someone do this before. They get up on their high horse and they're all like head going back. You know how girls do all that stuff. You know, you didn't do this, did you? Huh? You know, I washed the clothes in the garbage and I even made your bed for you. Can I massage your feet? That's probably what it was like for these Pharisees. Has one of us believed in him? Anybody believed in him? None of the religious people. I believed in him. I met him at night one time. And he told me that he came to save the world, not to condemn it. He's nothing like what's become of us. He's not like us. That must have been a shocker for them. Jesus is planting a seed. And now the seed is starting to grow. The seed's named Nicodemus. You're a seed. It's got your name on it. And God did not come to condemn you. He came to save you. He came to support you. Look how it ends up. Number two, swap out obligation for love. Now Jesus has already died on the cross, and that part's over. And I want to read you. This is amazing. Think about how it happened. First part, comes to see Jesus at night. I don't know. My image is important to me. The second time now, he's at work. You know how hard it is to ever say anything at work. He's at work, he says. I know him. Now Jesus has died on the cross. Now listen, show you where Nicodemus shows up. Afterward, Joseph of Arimathea, who had been a secret disciple of Jesus because he feared the Jewish leaders, asked Pilate, that's the governor from Rome, for permission to take down Jesus' body. Jesus is hanging on, this is the story now. Jesus is still hanging on the cross. He goes and says, can I have the body? When Pilate gave permission, Joseph came and took the body away. With him came Nicodemus. Nicodemus is going to prepare Jesus, is going to prepare the Lord's body for the resurrection, the one that came way back in the night, the one that barely got his hand up in the air but then found his courage to say, he saves us, doesn't condemn us. Nicodemus prepares the Lord's body for the resurrection. Of all the people that God could have chose when he made the plan, all the plan, he could have picked anybody. He picks Nicodemus. It gives me so much hope for my life. That the areas of my life that seem like they're so far away from where I want them to be. Can you just think about how far he has come? And what's going on in your life and you want it to happen so bad and it seems like it is so far away. There's no way it could ever happen for you. The man who had come to Jesus at night, he brought about 75 pounds of perfume ointment made from myrrh and aloes. Following the Jewish burial custom, they wrapped Jesus' body with the spices in long sheets of linen cloth. The place of crucifixion was near a garden where there was a new tomb never used before. And so, because it was the day of preparation for the Jewish Passover, and since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there. Nicodemus, for me and for you, is a symbol of hope. You know, how far I have to go in some area of my life, I feel like I can never get there. Maybe in your family, you're working with your children or something, you're watching your kids, and you're like, oh my gosh, they have got so far to go. They're like 60 still living in my basement. This is not good. They don't have the job I thought they should get. They didn't go, whatever it is. See, Nicodemus, for each and every one of us, is a real person. And he had a long ways to go. He swapped out religion. He had a relationship. And look at how far he was able to go. Now I have areas in my life, I'm about halfway. And I remember when I started. Start, fall. And sometimes it just hurts so bad to get back up. You're like, I'm never going to make it. Forget it. This area is never coming together. I'm going to have to keep it a secret. Nobody's going to know, but it's never going to change. This story says different. It says it doesn't matter how far you have to go. You may start out in the night, and you may be chosen to do something that riddles through history. It's one of the greatest things that's ever been done. For Nicodemus to prepare the body, to wash the body of the Lord and prepare it for the resurrection. Maybe you know somebody or they seem like they're a long ways away where they should be. I heard about this mom and daughter. They're shopping at a store and they're in the produce department and they're hanging out and this guy's there and he's a produce guy. He's stacking all the oranges up like this and he sees the mom and the daughter. She's like kindergarten and she says, hey, little girl, here's a free orange, you know, and she takes the orange and she's holding it like this. And the mom is like over here like this. What do you say? What do you say? And the little girl's like, peel it. The mom's like, you have a long way to go. What's your thing though? What do you got in your life? Just like this orange. Is so far. Yeah, like you take your step, you're like, oh. No one even has to tell you. You're like, I have so far to go. The story of Nicodemus is our hope that when you and I have a relationship with Jesus, when you have a relationship with Jesus, you just keep processing. It doesn't matter if you start in the dark. The resurrection awaits you. Now, if you'll grab your notes, the last little part, it says at the bottom line, do you need a spiritual comeback? And at this time in the service, we're just going to grab our notes. Everybody grab your notes. Write that last fill in. I want to give you some things to think about. Here's what Jesus said to Nicodemus. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish,